News Team Coverage, 94.9 WSJM News Now.
Brought to you by Comfort Keepers of Southwest Michigan, serving Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties. Compatible, compassionate, comfortable care at home. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. Members of Congress are serious about implementing some basic gun control measures to keep schools safe. That's the thought of Congressman Fred Upton, who tells us the bipartisan Problem Solvers group has talked about the issue this week. Upton also spoke with students from the high school in Parkland, Florida, where 17 were killed this month on Tuesday. He tells us the talk about gun control appears to be serious.
There is a big movement here, and we're looking at a number of different alternatives. I know that we're talking to a number of members the balance of the week about these individual pieces of legislation.
Upton tells us the most likely things are comprehensive background checks, a bump stock ban, and even raising the age for buying some rifles to 21. As for a talk of arming the teachers, Upton says he's not so sure that's a good idea. The Berrien County Land Bank has received three bids for the vacant El Rico Metals property in Benton Harbor, two of which meet its standards to be considered. Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski tells us both of those two bidders would use the industrial parcel in Benton Harbor for medical marijuana production. Since the city of Benton Harbor has not yet ironed out its own medical marijuana rules, the land bank will not proceed with either potential sale.
We have given each company 60 days to have approval or not approval from Benton Harbor City Commission. If the city does not want to approve it, which is their right, we will not sell it. We will not force this down the city's throats under any circumstances.
Witkowski tells us the third bid for the El Rico property didn't meet the land bank's requirements for consideration. Witkowski says the two medical marijuana-related bidders would have to get city approval. The El Rico property is on El Rico Road near Pawpaw Avenue in the city. The Berrien County Prosecutor's Office and several local police agencies say they've spent considerable time in the past few weeks investigating potential threats made at school districts. Prosecutor Michael Sepik tells us there's been a rash of statements made by students in some local schools that could have amounted to a threat of violence. Police have investigated incidents at public school districts in Bridgman, St. Joe, Watervliet, and Berrien Springs, along with at Andrews Academy in Berrien Springs. Sebek says in most cases it was determined no threat was actually made. However, in the cases involving Watervliet and Andrews Academy, a petition will be filed with the county juvenile court alleging threatening electronic communications. Sebek does note it's not known whether the cases would be accepted by the court. He says school officials and law enforcement take these situations seriously and students will be dealt with when threats are made. The Disaster Relief Fund set up last week by the United Way of Southwest Michigan to raise money for those affected by flooding in Berrien County has already collected more than $20,000. That's in just 5 days. United Way of Southwest Michigan President Anna Murphy tells us all dollars will be used locally for both short-term and long-term needs of people affected.
They have to stay in Berrien or Cass County. It's Southwest Michigan. It's our service area.
The money collected for the United Way's relief fund will eventually wind up at the Red Cross of Southwest Michigan once it's verified the donations stay local. You can contribute to the effort at uwsm.org. The Berrien County Sheriff's Department continues to remind drivers to obey barricades posted by the road department. Sheriff's Department tells us even if the barricades have been moved to the side of the road, it's not a good idea to drive past. Roads that were flooded still need to be inspected by engineers to ensure they're structurally sound and can handle the vehicle traffic. According to the National Weather Service, more than half of flood-related fatalities involve driving. Flooding can weaken roads or cause them to wash out entirely, making driving through flooded areas quite dangerous. The Berrien County Road Department still has several stretches of road closed off to traffic. We have a list of those posted at WSJM.com. A gas station robbery in St. Joseph is under investigation. Michael Arney has more.
As the St. Joe Mart Marathon gas station in the 2800 block of Niles Avenue was closing up last night, a man wearing a ski mask walked in and robbed the place. St. Joseph Public Safety and St. Joseph Township Police spent about 90 minutes searching for that suspect and processing the scene. They were not able to find that man, even with a police canine going through the area between Niles Avenue and Lakeland Hospital. Suspect made off with all the money in the register. No further description has been made available other than a white man in a ski mask. Also, no word at this point if a weapon was used. Anyone with information is urged to call St. Joseph Public Safety or 911. I'm Michael Arney reporting.
A Towashak man learned the hard way this week that it's not okay to ride a lawnmower while drunk. The Cass County Prosecutor's Office tells us it took a jury about 10 minutes today to convict 32-year-old Stephen Bakeman of operating while intoxicated. Prosecutor Victor Fitz says that Bakeman was arrested the night of June 11th when sheriff's deputies found him riding a John Deere lawnmower down Middle Crossing Road in Silver Creek Township. The deputies had been called out to the area by some nearby children, and when they found Bakeman on the mower on the dark road, it had no lights. The prosecutor says Bakeman failed to complete a field sobriety test. Later on, his blood alcohol level tested for 3 times the legal limit. A trial this week ended with a unanimous guilty verdict from the jury. It was Bakeman's third drunk driving conviction. The Van Buren Conservation District is using all of this week to educate Southwest Michigan residents on the threat of invasive species. The district's Eleanor Siraki tells us as the spring approaches, regular people can help spot invasive plants and bugs. One in particular is a concern here in Southwest Michigan.
By far, I get the most calls about is the Japanese knotweed. That's a plant that can get about 10 feet tall, kind of looks like bamboo, but with these heart-shaped leaves. What happens is the big roots of that plant can actually work its way into any cracks in your foundation or your septic tank, roadways.
Siraki tells us people are the biggest factor in spreading invasive species. That's why everyone's urged not to move firewood across long distances and to thoroughly wash their boats after use. You can see examples of the common invasive species and report sightings of them at an MSU Extension website. We have a link at WSJM.com. And it's a busy time for the Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan right now. Director Jill Savoda tells us the new headquarters in Royalton Township is just about finished. It could be in the next few weeks that the Humane Society moves out of the place in Benton Township.
We are just waiting on tying up some loose ends. They are running a new sewer in Royalton Township, so we've got to wait until, obviously, we're hooked up to sewer. And then after that, we apply for occupancy permits, and we have to jump through the hoops. And so it's going to be soon.
Savoda tells us it feels great to finally be on the verge of moving. Humane Society has been trying to find forever homes for as many of its critters ahead of the move so the process can be easier. It's also asking supporters for donations of supplies, as Savoda says they'd be housewarming gifts. If you'd like to help out, look at the Humane Society of Southwest Michigan's website and find their Amazon wish list. WSJM News now continues with your Hilliard Lyons report.
American Electric Power, 65.56, down 0.39. Apple, 178.12, down 0.27. J.P. Morgan, 115.34, down 2.02. Chemical Bank, 55.19, down 0.89. Cisco Systems, 44.78, down 0.26. General Electric, 14.10, down 0.40. IBM, 155.81, down 0.74. Microsoft, 93.77, down 0.43. Fifth Third Bancorp, 33.05, down 0.21. Stryker, 162.17, down 1.95. Whirlpool, 162.42, down 2.82. XPO Logistics, 98.47, up 0.38. The Dow Jones Industrial Average declined by almost 400 points Wednesday as losses in healthcare and energy companies weighed down on the markets. The Dow was down 380 points to 25,029, and the S&P 500 lost 30 points to 2713. This is Al McKee with Hilliard Lyons, where we take a team approach to your investment needs. Hilliard Lyons would like to thank the Southwest Michigan readers of the Herald Palladium for choosing us as the best local financial planning organization.
WSJM News now continues. Another extraordinary war of words between the president and his attorney general, this time over President Trump's demand the Justice Department investigate FISA court abuses. Here's ABC's Andy Field in Washington.
It's almost unheard of for a president to publicly dress down his own attorney general. Mr. Trump has now done it several times and again today, slamming Jeff Sessions for handing what the president says is a potentially massive FISA abuse investigation to the inspector general, who Mr. Trump calls an Obama guy. Jeff Sessions firing back that he's doing his job with integrity and honor and following the Constitution.
President Trump, meanwhile, slammed some members of the United States Senate today. In a discussion, he said senators are afraid of the NRA. He also said he'll make his own bump stock ban if Congress fails to do so. Meanwhile, Americans paying tribute to the Reverend Billy Graham at the Capitol today. Political leaders gathered earlier at the Rotunda to remember the Reverend who made such a profound connection to the American public. Here's ABC's Lana Zak at the Capitol.
At this moment, the Capitol Rotunda is filled with a long line of people who have come to offer their final respects to the man once dubbed America's pastor. At the memorial service that preceded the public viewing, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan spoke about the impact that the Reverend Billy Graham had on Americans.
The man had such a gift for connecting with people. When listening to Reverend Graham, it's as if he's right there next to you, praying with you.
Reverend Graham's body will lie in honor here until Thursday. It is a rare distinction only offered to four private citizens in American history. Lana Zak, ABC News, the Capitol.
It was an emotional morning for students at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School just outside of Fort Lauderdale. About 95% of the kids showed up for the first day of classes since the armed assault that killed 17 people there on February 14th.
This is Jim Ryan. The question hanging over the campus is, what's going to happen to Building 12, where a gunman murdered 14 students and three staff members on Valentine's Day? School Superintendent Robert Runcie.
We are hopeful that the legislature will pass funding for building a replacement building at a different site on the campus and demolishing the existing building.
He says the same state money would also fund a memorial dedicated to the 17 people who died in the shooting spree. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Broward County, Florida.
Dick's Sporting Goods taking a harder line against guns in the National Rifle Association. It says it will immediately stop selling assault-style rifles, and ban the sale of all guns to anyone under 21. The chain's CEO is also calling for tougher gun laws. For the first time ever, a basketball team from a small university in New York City with players who wear yarmulkes on the courts playing in a major postseason tournament. Here's ABC's Scott Goldberg.
There's March Madness, and there's March Michigas. What you get when Yeshiva University makes it to the big dance.
One of the things that we have to do is we have to find kosher food.
The Orthodox Jewish institution going to its first ever NCAA Division III tournament.
You got to figure out how they're going to stay there over the Sabbath, where they're going to pray.
First game in York, Pennsylvania on Friday afternoon before Sabbath starts at sunset.
It's really amazing. It's wild that we're actually here.
Says freshman guard Simcha Halpert, one of the Maccabees, that's their mascot, like the Hanukkah heroes, hoping for a great miracle there. Scott Goldberg, ABC News, New York.
And two veteran actresses are first-time Oscar nominees this year in the supporting actress category. Here's ABC's Jason Nathanson.
You're not even worth state tuition, Christy.
Laurie Metcalf has her first Oscar nomination for her role as the mom in Lady Bird.
Just to be in the room is incredible. I just hadn't planned on it ever happening to me.
Also with her first, Allison Janney is Tonya Harding's foul-mouthed, chain-smoking mom in I, Tonya.
I was embarrassed for you.
Janney tells ABC News that since her dear friend and the movie's writer, Steven Rogers, gave her such a great gift by writing the role for her, she's returning the favor.
It's my date to the Oscars. I wish the movie had been nominated. I think it deserved to be, but Margot and I will be there, and Steven will be there right there at my side.
And we'll be there too, Sunday night on ABC. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
WSJM News now continues with your weather forecast.